Hi, I'm Jen Windrow. I'm here in the Brick Cave Media microphone room, studio, in the
podcast
Mesa downtown
studio.
podcast studio, in the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. And we are starting something new tonight. Tonight is the first edition of the Proximia Emporium Bibliophyte podcast.
Ooh,
and we, what did I do wrong?
Proximia?
I said Proximia.
Proxima.
Oh, Proxima. Proxima and Proxima. Okay, Bob's in trouble for making me do this, so normally he should be doing this, but he's making me do this, so if I get it wrong, it's his fault. So I'm here with Patience.
Hello.
David.
Yes, that's David. And we three are your book reviewers.
Yes.
Yeah, we're book reviewers.
That's
what we're doing.
Yep.
So basically what we did, or what Bob did... is Bob helped us pick three books that we read in the last few weeks since about Christmas time, and we are going to sit here and chat about them tonight and talk about them, and then this is kind of a little bit of a contest, or it is a contest. We chat about the books, and then the books go on sale at the bibliophyte.com webpage, and you can buy them there. And then the person with the most sales of books is the winner. So the book with the most sales, I should say.
What details are on the site.
Yeah, details are on the site. Do they win anything fun if they win the best book?
Or they get the most money.
The most money.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. I mean, that's the best reward.
So the best book, exactly, right? The best book means the author gets the most money.
We can't give them like a little something to put on their website.
Yeah.
You know what? Yes.
It's free, isn't it?
We'll make a digital trophy.
Yes.
There you go. Okay, so they get a digital trophy, so.
Bibliophyte trophy with like, can we get gloves?
We'll take that under advisement.
So now that you've heard me babble about this, I'm going to introduce the three books because Bob is making me. The first one is The Last Incarnation, Book One of The Ascension by J.A. Junta. The second is Platinum Magic by Bruce Davis. And the third is The Healer's Legacy by Sharon Skinner. And I do believe these are all Brick Cave Media authors.
Heck yes, they are.
So those will be the three books that we are discussing tonight. They are all in the fantasy genre. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to start by asking you guys, first of all, what did you think of?
Which one? Are you going to start with just which one?
Okay, starting which with? One you want? Let's start with Healer's Legacy.
Since it's on top?
On my top of my pile.
Let's do that. Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah, that works for me.
Healer's Legacy by Sharon Skinner, who is a very sweet person.
I really like this one. I think it was really, you know, it's something that I've been meaning to read. It's been on my to-read list for ages and ages. And I really fell in love with the characters. I think that was something that I enjoyed, Kira, how she was going through her struggles. I mean, it's definitely a struggle to really find her own and to escape some not ideal situations, and I think I really appreciated that. And then the connection that they had with her companions, her animal companions.
I did. Yeah. That's one thing that I just love about it. I'm an animal person, so I love companions. Having fuzzy things with you all the time that you can,
it's always
they
good.
Can talk to you or whatever, you know, like they're buddies.
I mean, I grew up on like the Beastmaster,
yeah,
and so like. Anybody who's got like companions that they can communicate
so
with
cool.
like that definitely strikes a chord with me. It is a young adult fiction, so I wanted to mention that. That doesn't mean that, of course, adults like us can't read it, but it does mean it's geared a little bit towards, you know.
Yeah, my 12-year-old read it and loved it, and I read it and loved it. So, you know, it appeals to a broad audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. How about plot? What did you guys think of the plot?
So, I thought she did a really good job of like establishing her world and letting you know who Kira was as a person, kind of where she came from, and kind of who she's struggling to become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it even starts like the first thing that struck me is like I always feel like the cover of a book is really important, and the cover of this one told me immediately that this was a fantastic world. You see that because there's a dragon perched on her shoulder. The main character is a female and kind of tomboyish, but, you know.
She's got her sword with her.
But, yeah, she's also, like, strong. She's not just, like, some princess to be rescued, you know.
Right.
she's trying to do something and she's trying to accomplish it on her own. And like throughout the story, you really see that she struggles against that perception of girls kind of being, you know, just, you know, in those kind of traditional roles that women have been put in. And she's constantly struggling against that. You know, she's not just a wallflower. She's a trained healer. She knows how to fight. She knows how to hunt. She can survive on her own. But like, it also goes to show that even somebody who is capable of doing all of these things does still need help and doesn't always know how to ask for help. And I thought that was a really important thing to do too, again, especially when it is kind of targeted towards that young adult audience. Because I find a lot of books, you know, they build up their protagonists as like these paragons of like self-sufficiency. I can do everything and I don't need help from anyone.
YA is a lot like, YA that tends to have heavy female characters is a lot like, doesn't know they have powers, and all of a sudden they have powers, and then they're perfect with their powers, or they're a princess or a queen or something. And this book wasn't like that. I mean, she knew who she was from the beginning, which is pretty awesome, because it, you know, it steps out of that YA stereotypical idea that magic, you know, suddenly shows itself or appears at a certain age.
I like that she was humble in it. I mean, there was a lot of parts where it talked about how she had made mistakes and she felt sorry for them.
Yeah.
And wanted to kind of make up for it. So she wasn't really this perfect character. And I also like that there was another character who came in that was more of the stereotypical ideal woman in waiting kind of a thing. And so I liked being able to see that comparison of the two and how each of them approached this world and thought that they would make the best of their opportunities in it.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it in that context, but it is. It's very true. Like, you got the former noblewoman. I mean, she's still a noblewoman, but her husband had passed away, and so now his brother had taken over their little piece of land, and now she had to try and struggle and find out where her place was in this new society that her husband's brother was building, because it's very, very different from your typical, like, feudal fantasy type of setting. It's got a lot of more modern ideals in it, and I really liked too how there's sometimes you'll see fantasy novels that draw on modern elements, like, you know, modern democracies and things like that, and they feel super forced. And in here you could see that this is just a guy who's gone out into the world and realized that, you know, nobles don't know everything, and that they can really take advantage of the knowledge and the ideas that everybody has around them to bring everybody up, that you don't have, you know, that nobility doesn't always know what's right.
Yep, I agree.
Should we move on to the next? Okay. All right, so we've talked a little bit about Healer's Legacy. We're going to move on to Platinum Magic by Bruce Davis. Same thing. What were your thoughts?
So this one was actually, of the three, my personal favorite. And part of that is it's a pseudo-modern fantasy.
It is, yeah.
And it has a lot of, like, you're in a... You find out later something that I don't want to spoil, because I think it's, like, a really cool, interesting beat. But it's set in a world where magic has completely replaced technology. So, like, there are crossbows that have replaced, like, shotguns and assault rifles. They're all powered by magic. And you've got, you know, needlers, they call them, that are magically propelled pistols. And, like, the whole story is about these group of basically magic cops trying to find out or plow through this mystery that involves, like, magical terrorists in a very pseudo-modern metropolis. And you've got a ghetto, and you've got, like, a higher end place where the elves live, and, like, I've always really liked that kind of setting.
I do too. I like the idea that it's a kind of a modern world with these anti-modern ideas, magic and things like that, elves, orcs, things that we don't think of, you know, when you think of Lord of the Rings, and that you think of these, you know, age-old characters, and to bring those into a modern setting is actually a really cool thing, really neat idea to do.
But I thought it was, I've written read several of these kinds of books. This was the first one, though, that went to it from, like, a police procedural perspective. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. It was kind of like Law and Order, like the cop half of it,
yeah.
But with these fantastic elements. And,
well, and knowing yeah. Bruce, and having met Bruce, I can see Bruce in mm-hmm. here. Like, you can see the, you know, and I don't know if you know
his attention
Bruce,
to detail. And
yeah, his attention to detail and things like that Bruce brings to stuff, he really brought into his book, too. So
yeah, and I thought this was a pretty masculine book, for sure.
It is.
As yeah. compared to the others.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, and, I'm a gun owner, so I was familiar with a lot of the gun language and everything, but it threw me off for a little bit. And once I kind of learned all of the lingo, I think then it kind of really started to kick in. And then the romance piece that went through, to me, I felt it was a little bit of a reach. I could have done without all that, because I loved the characters that he built and the way that they were going after the story.
So
I know you love romance. You love romance, and I'm you know,
I'm okay didn't for mind it. But the romance element, although I will agree with you, it felt a little rushed.
Right.
Like, I feel like he should have he should have set him up, and then, like, if there's a second book, and I'm not sure, because this is the only one that doesn't specifically say it's part
is there
of
a
series.
Second book coming?
I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. Yeah, because it didn't really leave
we
it.
We had to ask Bob if there was a second book coming. He would know.
Tucson Festival of Books will be when the second book comes
there
out.
There you go. Awesome. Tucson Festival
that's
of
what,
books.
March?
We'll have a second one to read. Yeah.
Yeah.
March 14th.
We're actually finishing up the cover on that.
Well, nice.
I will definitely be on lookout for that personally, because I really liked all of the characters, and now knowing that there's going to be a second book, I will definitely say I feel like the romance was a little rushed, because the introduction of the romantic, you know,
the romantic, yeah,
yes, yeah, the link
mm-hmm. could have been spread out through a second book, maybe.
Yeah, and like she I don't want to say, I don't want you to think, though, that, like, it takes away from her as a character.
Oh, no. She's very strong.
She develops everybody really well. She is, again, mm-hmm. not just a damsel. In fact, she comes in and she is, he expects her to be something, the protagonist does, and she is everything that he doesn't expect her to be. And it's not just, like, to create a contrast. Like, she proves herself throughout the story that, mm-hmm. you know, she can do, and she has earned her place, right. And you know, that's why I think the romance felt a little bit rushed to me. I could definitely see why he would be attracted to her, because I would be attracted to that kind of person. You
yeah,
know?
She was a very strong female.
Yeah, which is probably what I like.
Unapologetic.
About her,
yeah.
And just, you know, she to me was somebody that I think I would like to be around and would not mind working with,
right.
just because she was straightforward and honest.
Yeah.
And it just felt natural.
Absolutely. And like, even one of the more minor characters, the wife of the main character's partner.
Oh, I love her.
She was awesome.
She was so good.
Like, you only see her maybe a half dozen, or but you like the way they talk about her, there's so much, like, implied respect. So she kind of gets built up before you meet her. And so when you first finally meet her, I'm like, oh, is she going to be like, what is, you know, is she going to be this, like, really gruff, stern person? And she is, but she's also caring and loving and yeah. like super supportive, and like, he did a great job of making me like all of the characters, even the minor characters, even a few of the guys who I shouldn't like. I still kind yeah. of understood why they were who they were, you know.
Right. And I feel like I definitely, when they were talking about her, I really wanted to sit at her table. I was like, I want to be invited to her kitchen and sit at her table,
right?
Because it just seemed like a very calm, relaxing place, very family oriented. It really felt like I was sitting at, you know, at home somewhere.
Absolutely.
And it was great. I think Bruce did a really great job with
he
that.
He did a very good job. All his characters are all very well built. Okay, let's move on to The Last Incarnation, book one of The Ascension by J.A. Junta. I just have to say, I do love the cover on this one. It's just a really cool cover.
It's the dog.
It's the dog.
It's the dog.
It's kind of
funny. The dog. I really love it. Bob, more dog books.
So, true story, that was drawn by a gentleman who lives in Norway,
okay.
Who does the Lord of the Rings card game.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Well, he's very
he did
talented.
A great job.
It's a beautiful
yeah,
cover.
Fantastic.
I can't, like, show you guys, but yeah, hello.
You'll see it on the website.
Yeah, you'll see it on the website.
You can zoom in.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, thoughts on this one?
I
liked it.
I liked all of them. This one, I have to say, I liked the least. And it's not because it's bad or it's poorly written. I just, it's the most to me, and I don't want this to sound like a negative because I don't necessarily think this is, but it was the most formulaic of the three.
I feel like it was at, it was meant for a slightly younger age than the other two.
So you think more middle
I'm grade? Wondering if that's what you were feeling, the vibe of it. It feels like a formula.
Me, I...
But...
So I've read, there's a series of books by a relatively famous fantasy novelist, mm-hmm. R.A. Salvatore. And this one, early on,
yeah,
hits a lot of the beats of a couple of his different novel series. Some of his Demon War Saga books, in that it's a human who gets trained by another race.
Mm-hmm.
And then also he's this like really powerful wilderness guy with animal companions, which... hits on a little bit of the Driss Duorden characteristics. And so that's kind of where that formulaic part comes from. You know, that the main character is definitely neither of those characters. He mm-hmm. he is very much his own.
Yeah,
he's got his own unique characteristics. But those notes hit so closely that it felt a little formulaic. And that may mm-hmm. actually be completely incidental because there's a character in The Healer's Legacy whose name is Toro. Who has nothing to do with anything. Like, they're an important character, but that's the same name as one of the continents in the Forgotten Realms, which is where R.A. Salvatore's mm-hmm. Drist books are set. So, like, I read these really rapidly, one after another, and so that name kind of got stuck in my head. And I even wrote a note, like, you know, this name reminds me of this, even though they're not really the same. And I think maybe that's kind of what put me in that mindset that made me draw those associations much more closely. Again, it's I don't see it as a bad thing. Like, there are certain, you know, fantasy tropes that are there for a reason, mm-hmm. and it helps you buy in even faster. You're like, okay, I don't have to go super in-depth explaining what this is because I know what it is, having read other mm-hmm. other fantasy notes, and you use that to build a foundation that you build the rest of your story on. But it does strike me just as a little formulaic. And
I really liked the book. I really, his details, I thought, were phenomenal. His mm-hmm. world building, I thought, was really great.
Oh, it was really
his
good.
Character yeah. development was great. Yeah, the plot could be considered formulaic, but if you're a romance reader, they're formulaic.
Right.
If you're a suspense reader, it's formulaic. And I think that's just something that with plots of certain genres, you know, we can't all be J.K. Rowling. I mean, we all can't do that. So, but I thought he did a fantastic job with his world building and his character development.
He did.
And that one I was really engrossed in. I really got into the story.
I think I'd really like to be in the elven world. I mean, that looked yeah. really cool. Just the way that he built that in such an unusual yeah. place.
And I really liked his take on magic. Like, that was probably the singular, like, really truly unique yeah. part of the book. Because, like, all of these books have that element of magic.
They
and,
do, yeah.
and, like, from Healer's Legacy, where it's a lot more subtle, there's just a little bit of it, and you get the impression that the world is a more fantastic place, but you're not really in that part of it now, to where platinum magic, where magic is almost mundane.
Yeah.
You know, it's everywhere, become, yeah, and so it becomes less ordinary. Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. It becomes ordinary to here, where it's a bad thing, and people are afraid of it. And right. he explains why, and, like, that's a really compelling element, and is by far my favorite part of it. The,
yeah. Yeah,
his use of magic
that's
in that
yeah,
is...
Yeah, his world building was phenomenal,
yeah.
so it really was. Out of the three, I thought his world building was just really deep and in-depth, mm-hmm. and that's what I loved about that one, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so are we saying our favorites, or have we pretty much done
you can,
that?
You guys can tell everybody what your favorites are. Sure.
I think mine is, excuse me, I'm dying today. It's The Healer's Legacy. I really like that one.
And I have to
that
say
was
mine,
the one I related to the most.
And I have to say mine was probably The Last Incarnation, and that is because I really love the world building, but I love that, as a writer, I really like that deep and depth world building.
And I already mentioned that Platinum Magic was my favorite. And again, it's partially because I'm just automatically going to be immediately engaged in that magic as technology,
yeah.
you know, modern, but still fantastic. Like, that, because I don't read it as much, I don't see it as commonly, like, that instantly has a huge buy-in for me personally. And I think some of that is just my background. I was really into science fiction and science fiction long before I got into fantasy. So,
yeah.
like, those elements kind of merging together.
You're good to go, yeah.
yeah. Like, they're always gonna be more interesting yeah. to me. But again, I liked all three of them. Like, I'm excited to read the next three, and doubly excited to hear that that the second book yes. in that Platinum Magic series is coming out here shortly.
And so. How about the other series? So Healer's Legacy has other books after it.
Two more.
Correct. So Healer's actually is a complete trilogy at this point. So okay. you can get all three of those from the Brickcave Media website.
And what about The Last Incarnation?
Last Incarnation is also a complete trilogy. There are two books following that, and those are also available.
So two complete series, and then one that we're in the midst of having.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So these books will all be on the Bibliofight website,
Bibliofight.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it. and they'll all be on there, and you as the readers can come and purchase the books, and then, you know, see who you agree with. You can purchase all three and decide who you agree with, or just buy the one you think sounds most interesting to you, and whoever, like we said before, whoever makes the most money or has most sales, makes the most money, is the winner of this little Bibliofight episode.
Yeah. And they are all worthy.
They are all great reads. They're all fun reads, and they're all worth your time.
Absolutely.
And of course, we would love if you bought all three. So if we have a 3-way tie, we're good too. So. And then Kate, then patients will have to make three little awards.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And if you have a book, or a publisher, a small press, an indie author. You okay with indie authors?
Absolutely.
Indie authors, absolutely. And you would like to enter your book into the Bibliofight podcast for us to read and review once a month. There is a form on the website for you to fill out, and it'll go to Bob, and then Bob will send it to us, and then we will pick what genre we're moving on next. So I think that's it. Bob made me talk, so he's in trouble.
Uh-oh. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.
All right, goodnight.
Thanks, goodnight.